propositions changed tonight. Ron has been in the affirmative this evening. Brother Freeman will be in the affirmative. And the following is the proposition to be discussed. Proposition 2. The scriptures teach that a person who is divorced by his mate for committing fornication is free to marry another. Signed by Brothers Freeman and Hallbrook. Brother Freeman now will make the affirmative.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Moderators, my opponent. In the beginning tonight, I want to read the questions I have submitted to my opponent. Question number 1, what is the meaning of the word adultery as used in Matthew 19, verse 9? Question number 2, under what conditions, if any, may the one guilty of adultery and divorce for that cause scripturally remarry? Question number 3, if a husband is guilty of fornication, may his wife scripturally remain married to him? Number 4, can a person scripturally marry one who is guilty of adultery? Question number 5, in the case where both husband and wife are guilty of adultery, does either have a scriptural right for divorce and remarriage? I received questions from my opponent tonight. Question number 1, if the mate guilty of fornication can remarry, the sinner receives benefits and rights for his sin, true or false? I have replied, it is not sin which gives man rights and benefits. Number 2, repentance requires severing quick sinful relationships. Homosexual, polygamous, adulterous, incestuous, man-beast marriages, man married 100 times. I have replied, repentance requires giving up all sin. Number 3, if an alien sinner in a second marriage following a divorce not for fornication desires to be accepted of God, he A, must terminate his marriage. B, may continue in the marriage. I checked B, he may continue in the marriage. We'll get into why he can in the course of this debate. Number 4, if an erring Christian in a second marriage following a divorce not for fornication desires to be accepted to God, he A, must terminate his marriage. B, may continue in the marriage. I checked B, he may continue in the marriage. And the circumstances in which he can will be brought out in the course of this discussion. Question number 5, does the New Testament authorize a Christian marriage of an unbeliever to put away the unbeliever for fornication and marry another? I've checked yes. Cite the passage. Matthew 19, verse 9 authorizes the putting away. 1 Corinthians 7, 2. 1 Corinthians 27 and 27, 27 and 28 authorize the remarriage. Next business at hand, I would like to define my proposition. By the scriptures, I mean the 66 books of the Bible, not human commentaries. By teach, I mean to impart information, to give instruction. By a person who is divorced, I refer to one who is scripturally, as well as legally, put away so that he is no longer married in God's sight, has no husband, or he would have no wife. His mate, his wife, her husband, the one to whom he was married before the divorce, for committing fornication, for fulfilling sexual desires with someone other than his wife. He is free. I mean by this that he has a God-given right to marry, to enter into an honorable relationship with a wife, his own, not the wife of another. Another, you can't have a marriage without another. It takes two. One who is not the wife of another, he may marry. In his proposition, defining it, as I recall, my opponent defined Scripture exactly as I did, the 66 books of the Bible. He promised to use the Scripture to uphold his proposition. He could not find one passage in all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that would. And so, in the final analysis, let's see chart number 26, he did introduce some proof of his proposition. He introduced 14 commentaries, one history book, and one Catholic catechism. How do I know? He said, the Bible tells me so. How does Ron Holbrook know that his proposition is so? Well, he introduced 14 commentaries that agree with him. One history book, he said, agrees with him. And one Catholic catechism that agrees with him. So it isn't the Bible that tells my opponent that what he teaches is so. It's uninspired human beings. How does Brother Freeman know that what he teaches is so? I can truly say, because the Bible tells me so, I haven't referred to commentaries, histories, Catholic catechisms, Baptist manuals, etc. I have given book, chapter, and verse to uphold my proposition. He has none. Let's think a little more about commentaries. Let's see the next chart. This is first chart was 426, second chart 427. I'm not introducing this commentary to prove anything, but just in contrast with what he had to say. A commentary written by Mike Willis tells us something. It states many commentators, however, understand this to mean that the Christian is not under bondage to keep his marital vows. That is, that he is no longer considered married in the sight of God. This must be recognized as a possible interpretation of this verse. Mike Willis, page 230. Many commentators. And so we have many commentators debating with other commentators. And what does that prove? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have a responsibility to turn to the Scriptures in order to find what we believe. And if it cannot be found there, we should give it up. And if we could stack commentaries up with 1,000, history books up with 1,000,000, that would not prove our proposition to be so. You might gather all the infidels in the world and all their writings in order to prove that there is no God, but that would not prove it. You could gather all the denominational people in the world to prove that baptism is wrong and should not be considered as necessary for remission of sins. That wouldn't prove the proposition. Let me suggest, brethren, those of you who are going to accept for the Holbert's position, now is the time to throw away your Bibles. Go out and buy these commentaries, but be sure and buy the ones Brother Holbrook uses, because you buy the many others to get by Brother Willis, you're going to be in trouble. Throw away your Bible, you don't need it. Buy yourself an office full of commentaries. How often have you heard from this pulpit? Not myself only, but others. Ridicule the idea of proving what you believe by turning to uninspired writings. So throw away your Bible if you want to accept that position, because it does not uphold it. Let me say one other note just here. I have refrained from quoting what my opponent has said elsewhere. He has freely quoted what I have said, and some things I have not said. But I have the right to quote what he said in Belen, New Mexico, not too long ago. My opponent suggested that the audience each purchase a little book. He gave him his name, told him he would tell them where to order it, and he said that, to my knowledge, it's the best book written on the subject. Marriage, Divorce, and Remarried. Friends, I want to recommend one little book to you. This one right here is called The New Testament, The Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all I have to recommend to you. I know that this book contains the very best, the only true information in regard to the subject at hand. I can recommend no other. Further, I might go one step further, though I was backtracking a little in that same discussion. As I listened to my opponent in New Mexico, when he was asked after his speech was over and questions were permitted, is it possible for the Christian who is divorced by the non-Christian ever to remarry? And his reply was, in essence, and we can bring a television set and put it here tomorrow night and let you see it if you want to. In essence, it was, yes, if the one who put her away commits adultery or remarries, she can put him away scripturally for the cause of fornication and remarry. He didn't make that statement here, did he? But he did then. Let's look at chart 450. Chart 450, we have it there?
No.
Okay, chart number 1 will be trying. This chart we've used before, and I believe it's necessary to use it. I want to keep this idea before you. God knew that there would be problems in regard to all things that He had said. God knew that there would be false teachers, and having anticipated this, foreknowledge of it, He warned us ahead of time to be ready for it. And so we read, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats, commanding to abstain from meats. God knew that this doctrine forbidding to marry would take place. And God told us who would do it. Those who would teach lies. Those who would be guilty of hypocrisy. Those who had departed from the faith. We have two doctrines placed side by side for our consideration in 1 Timothy 4. The first three verses, one is called the faith, the other is called the doctrine of devils. The faith does not forbid marriage, the doctrine of devils does. Again, you have your choice. You choose to follow my opponent, you choose the doctrine of devils, you choose to accept God, then marriage is not forbidden, rather it is honorable. We've had some difficulty, I think, in getting my opponent in this discussion to understand that there are different persons in different circumstances, in other words, different cases. To illustrate, what must a sinner do to be saved? I could scripturally say, in the light of Acts 2:38, he must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. What must a sinner do to be saved? I can scripturally say that he must repent and pray God that the thoughts of his heart may be forgiven him. Both statements are direct. One does not contradict the other. One is addressed to aliens, the other to sinful members of the church. You see the difference? So we find one passage addressed to one person, one marriage circumstance, another person addressed to another. The aliens were told to repent, be baptized. Sinful members of the church were told to repent and pray. And thus, a man in one marriage circumstance was told one thing, a man in another was told something else. That isn't the contradiction. And the truth of the matter is this. When you put all the passages together, having to do with marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you have the truth on that subject. Matthew 19, verse 9 is not the marriage law. Romans 7, 2 and 3 is not the marriage law. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11 is not the marriage law. But you put all those passages together and all others that deal with that subject in the New Testament, and you have God's marriage law. My opponent, by his thinking and reasoning and speech, has indicated time and time again that Matthew 19, verse 9 is the passage that answers all Bible questions and all problems having to do with marriage, divorce, and remarriage. This is not the case. Matthew 19, verse 9 did not have anything to do with the right of a person to marry upon the death of his spouse. But Romans 7, 2 and 3 takes care of that. Jesus had stated in John 16, verse 12, that there were other things that he wanted to say to them that they needed, but they were not able to bear it. We're going to say in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The part of that truth into which they were guided, other revelation in regard to marriage, which Jesus did not speak, was that they could remarry after death. Romans 7, 2 and 3. That the one who was divorced from his wife could remarry. 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28. And the word loose there means divorce. We will deal with that further in the course of this debate. Let's see now, chart number 41. We have God's way to avoid fornication. Now we're concerned not with several different cases tonight and tomorrow night. We're concerned with one particular party, the one who has been divorced on the grounds of fornication. Now this man is divorced on the grounds of fornication, and he wants to avoid fornication. He has repented of that fornication, and he wants to avoid fornication in the future. God's way of fornication is this, that every man have his own wife, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Holbrook says there are some men that cannot have wives. In fact, he's telling us the one put away from fornication cannot have a wife. God says to him in all others to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Now the fact, as he wrote out, that a man may have a wife and still burn with passion is beside the point in this. This is God's remedy. This is God's way to avoid fornication. That every man have his own wife, but every woman have her own husband. But he says, some men cannot have wives, some women cannot have husbands. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9, God said, it is better to marry than to burn. My opponent necessarily is teaching, it is better to burn than to marry, so far as some are concerned. In fact, if they marry, they'll burn in hell. So it's better to marry than to burn, he says, God said. But it's better to burn than to marry, according to my opponent. So, as you consider this chart, you see what Halbert says over here, and you see what God says over here, and you know this is what God says. You can read it in these verses. That's what God said. Now you may find, Brother Holbrook, 1,000 commentaries and histories and catechisms over here that will say this. But you will not find it over here in the Scripture. You haven't done so now. You have 2 minutes to do it. You haven't proved one verse from the Word of God yet. It says it. What you believe. We're still waiting. We'll be waiting when this debate is over. Let's see the next chart, please. Number 29. Matthew 5, verse 32. Isn't it amazing? The very first verse in the Bible, as they're arranged, as we have them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the very first verse in the Bible has anything to say about marriage and divorce and remarriage, affirms exactly what I'm affirming tonight. The very first verse. I'm affirming that the man put away or the woman put away for fornication has the right to remarry. What does this say? Whosoever shall put away his wife, standing for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Now, just think about this. If he puts her away for a cause other than fornication, he causes her to commit adultery. Of course, this would depend upon her having sex with someone else or remarrying. The fact that he puts her away doesn't make her an adulteress automatically. But if she remarries or has sex with someone else, then she's guilty of adultery. But if he puts her away for the cause of fornication, what happens? If he puts her away for any other cause, then the put-away wife commits adultery. But if he puts her away for the cause of fornication, he does not cause her to commit adultery. You see that? If you divorce your wife for just any cause, you cause her to commit adultery. If you put her away for fornication, you do not cause her to commit adultery. That ought to be simple enough for anyone to understand. That's what I'm affirming. I'm not affirming that a man has a right to put away his wife for any cause. I'm not affirming that he has a right to more than one wife. I'm not affirming that he has a right to some other man's wife. But I'm affirming that he has the right to put away his wife for fornication. When he does put her away for fornication, he does not cause her to commit adultery. Therefore, when she remarries, she is not guilty of adultery. It would be interesting to see my opponent's definition of adultery when he stands for worse in his turn. So if he puts her away for the cause of fornication, he does not cause her to commit adultery. But whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery, that's the woman if he is put away for any other cause. Pronouns show that to be true. Her, the woman, put away for a reason other than fornication. Well, does Matthew 5:32 allow a woman to put away her husband for the cause of fornication, marry another? Yes, it does, but it doesn't say so, does it? Just like Matthew 19, verse 9 gives the right to a man. He didn't have to repeat that for the sake of the woman. We don't have to today. The woman knows that that also authorizes her, gives her the same right. And so a man is authorized to put away his wife for the cause of fornication. She's authorized to put him away for the cause of fornication. But when they're put away for the cause of fornication, the one putting away does not cause them to commit adultery. They do not commit adultery when they remarry. Let's look at chart 30. The noun and pronoun, Matthew 19, verse 9. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, parallel to saving it be for fornication, Matthew 5:32. Whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. The her, I want you to notice that, goes back to the wife. The wife that's put away for a reason other than fornication. That's the wife under consideration. Her has to refer back to this noun, this pronoun has to go back to this noun. Her, what is he talking about? Some girl he had relations with before he married? No. He's talking about his wife. Noun and pronoun. Her has to refer back to this. So if he puts away his wife for a reason other than fornication, then whosoever marries her, yes, does commit adultery. Who puts his wife away for fornication has no wife. Can we all see that? I think my opponent will agree with that. If you divorce your wife on scriptural grounds, you have no wife. You're single. You're unmarried. Now, you may be guilty of a lot of other sins, but you're unmarried. Why? Because God gave you the right to put her away. Well, if the one who put her away for fornication can remarry, why is it? Because he has no wife. Well, what about the one who is guilty of fornication? They have been put away. They have no husband. The one put away has no husband. Now, if she has a husband, this man up here still has a wife. And if he marries, he commits adultery. But if he has no wife, the one put away for fornication has no husband. If she has a husband up there, the one to put her away for fornication has a wife. You can't have a marriage with just one. My opponent has quibbled a little about the word another. It takes two to have a marriage. It takes man and a woman. Well, there's no man or woman here when the divorce has been granted on grounds of fornication. The man stands alone. He's put away his wife, and he has no wife. God says he has no wife. Down here, God says this man, this woman has no husband. Well, why can this one marry? Because he's single. Why can this one marry? Because they're single. That's all in the world, I'm affirming. And isn't it sad that people go upset and writes your name up as teaching the doctrine of Baal, but all you want is to affirm that single people have the right to marry. That's all in this world I'm standing here for tonight. To tell you single people that you have God-given permission to marry. And don't you let people like my opponent take God-given rights away from you. You know, we're losing a lot of rights, people tell us. Well, I'm trying to see to it that false teachers don't come along and take away these God-given rights. It's bad enough when they take away rights granted long ago by our Constitution. But now, our own brethren are trying to take away our God-given rights. And single people have a God-given right to marry. And that's all in this world I'm affirming. And to put away a fornicator is not a married person, he's a single person. Let's see the next chart. Chart number 31. Just continuous idea of pronoun. God says, aren't thou loose from a wife? Who's loose from a wife? Well, the man put away for fornication is loose from a wife. He doesn't have a wife. Well, he comes to God and says, now, I would like to marry. Well, are you loose from a wife or are you single or married? Well, I'm loose from a wife. How do I know? You're loose from a wife. Well, God knows, of course, but he defended himself. Why, she put me away for fornication. Well, you're loose. Are you loose from a wife? And that word loose means divorced. God says, if you marry, you haven't sinned. But my opponent says, if he marries, he sins. God versus Holbrook. And that's been the theme throughout this debate. It has been God versus Holbrook. And you have a choice. Just as you choose between Jesus Christ and Joseph Smith, you choose between God and my opponent, Ron Holbrook. You can't have them both. You can't have the Pope and Jesus Christ, both as head of the church. You can't have Joseph Smith and Jesus Christ, and you cannot have my opponent and God, because they teach opposite things. As surely as you believe a single person has the right to marry, you know I'm speaking the Word of God. That's what God teaches. It is God versus Holbrook. Next chart. 32. Put away due to fornication. Matthew 19, verse 9. We're going to stay with this subject tonight and tomorrow night. That's all we're going to deal with. The one put away for fornication. Matthew 19, verse 9 gives man or a woman or both the right to put away a spouse for fornication. Must the innocent put away, divorce the guilty? Put away or divorce the guilty? No. Matthew 19, verse 9, Matthew 5, verse 32 are not commands. They give a right to the innocent to put away the guilty. But they don't have to use that right. They can stay with them if they please. Well, if they stay together, are they living in adultery? One is guilty, the other is not. If one chooses to maintain that marriage, one who's innocent says, come on back, I'll take you back. It may be the sake of children, because I still love you so much. But if they maintain that, is it sinful to be married to a fornicator? Not in that case, it isn't. It's not sinful. That was her scriptural and legal wife. Well, they committed fornication. The Bible doesn't command you to put her away. You can keep her. So I think my opponent would have to admit that it wouldn't be sinful, and the one who kept her would not be living in fornication. That being the case, the fornicator is living in fornication. The innocent is not. Now, what I want you to see is this. Living in, walking in has never meant married to. Your husband, your wife may be a thief. You're married to a thief, but you're not living in theft. The thief is, but you're not. Your mate may commit murder. They're living in murder, but you're not. We will get to Colossians 3, 5 through 7 later in this discussion.
2 minutes.
All right, the fornicator is living in fornication. The innocent is not living in fornication, but because they're married to him. So live in sin does not mean to be married to a sinner. If it did, how many of us would not be living in sin? Both husbands and wives. How many of us would be without sin all of our lives? So one kind or another. Let's look at the next chart while we have time. 33. The right to put away. When a man is put away for the fornication, does he have a wife? If so, who is she and where is she? If he's not single, if he's still bound to that woman, if he still has a wife, I want to know who his wife is and where she is. If he married a woman who has no husband, does he commit adultery with her? I'm not affirming his right to marry another man's wife, but now he marries a woman who has no husband. So this is not what my opponent would call an adulterous marriage. The man has been guilty, yes, he was put away for that, but now he's not married. If he is, where is his wife? And who is his wife?
And if he isn't married, then he has God-given permission to marry. And if he marries a woman who has no husband, another single person, he's single, he marries a woman who is single, then he does not commit adultery with her. In fact, it would be impossible. You cannot commit adultery with your own wife. Is that a shock to you? Is it a shock to you to hear that statement? You can't commit adultery with your own wife, with your own husband? Let my opponent define adultery and see if he can squeeze that in. Adultery is committed between a husband and a wife. It involves someone outside the marriage relationship, a third party. The right to put away, remember, it's a right, it's not a command. I'm not advising you to put away your husband or wife if they're guilty. I'm saying you have the right. But if you do, remember this. You're single, and now they're single. You put them away not just legally, in God's sight. The marriage is no longer there so far as God is concerned. Therefore, both are single and both have the right to marry. Equal right. If the one who is innocent, that's what it would say, may be guilty of many other things, but innocent of fornication has the right. Why? Because they're single. That's the thing that gives them the right. They are single. Whether they're Christians or infidels, they have the right to marry because they're single. Well, what about the one who was guilty and then divorced? They have the right because they're single.